Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Mr. Speaker, good morning, and thanks a lot for speaking with us.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you for having me this morning.
You've said you believe you've been vindicated because the jury in federal court concluded allegations of bribery, the so-called quid pro quo of trading jobs for budget increases, were not proven, that even though allegations of providing gratuities to lawmakers were proven. Is that a major distinction that you think the public appreciates?
Yeah, I think it's important when you have an allegation of bribery, you need two parties involved. And obviously, the jury, despite the fact that they found Mr. O'Brien guilty of other issues in the case, found no guilt, you know, relative to that particular one, because it just confirms that I was not involved in any impropriety.
Do you feel like federal prosecutors owe you anything, like a public explanation or maybe an apology?
I would leave that up to the prosecutors as to whether they may wish to apologize. I would question, however, the method as to how this was carried out at the last minute. Literally, almost the last minute, you know, the prosecutors decide that you know, they would go on to something that they had no proof of, quite frankly, because there was no proof that I had done anything wrong.
So why do you think they chose to target you like that, then?
Well, then that is the question of the day. What was their motivation? Only they can tell you that, except for the fact, you know, maybe it, because I am the speaker, maybe it makes the case a little more interesting. But beyond that, they had decided not to indict me. Because they had no evidence that I did any wrong, because I did not do anything wrong. Why me? You know, you'll have to ask the prosecutor. But knowing that I couldn't defend myself, that I was not a witness, and that I was just a sitting target for them, quite frankly, they decided to bring my name up.
I'm going to ask a question that I wouldn't normally ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are you pissed off?
That's a real Boston term. Are you pissed off? I like that. I would say yes. I'd have to say I am. I think it's very difficult to sit here, quite frankly, Bob, and I've been honest with you, as I have been with everybody, to go through this, knowing that there was nothing wrong. When I started this job, I went in there with, obviously, the most important thing was to maintain the integrity of this office. And now you have someone who's trying to tarnish that. And quite frankly, it was extremely unfair.
Do you have any regrets about your dealings with the probation department in the wake of all this, or making job recommendations in any other department of state government after all this?
The only regret that I would have is when I heard some allegations that the grades or the interview or marks may have been changed or manipulated. I was the one who called for us to change the way recommendations are considered. And we did. You now have to take a test. And after that test, no recommendations could be considered unless that person was a finalist. And if they were, and if they got the job, then those recommendations would be made public.
So then why not take it that one step further, Mr. Speaker, and ban patronage outright? Because in terms of public perception, don't you think the public is always going to at least partly believe that patronage is a very stinky part of state government?
And I think that this jury, you know, show that. But I don't know if you can tell a public official, a judge, or any other, or anyone else in elected or appointed in office, that they do not have the ability to make a recommendation for someone that they know, someone who worked for them, for the position. That's sort of the quandary that we find ourselves in.
You feel vindicated, but do you worry that your reputation has suffered?
Yes. I mean, the most important thing that I have here as Speaker of the House or as an elected official is my reputation. And quite frankly, again, I don't mind if people disagree with me on maybe some various pieces of legislation. But when people tarnish my reputation, and more importantly, tarnish it unfairly, I do have a problem with that.
You face re-election this fall. I take it in the wake of all this, you're not going to think about not running and that you will try to hold on to the speaker's job as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I will tell you, so far, the response, you know, to very important constituencies for me, obviously, are the people that I represent in Winthrop and in Revere. And the other important constituent to me has been the members of the House, both of which have been overwhelmingly supportive of me. And what I've heard time and time again by everyone who knows who I am, they have told me repeatedly that, you know, they have stated in all the years that they have been in, you know, in public service, never once have they felt that any type of allegation like this would have been brought, knowing of my history, to try to operate this office in a fair, just, transparent manner.
Mr. Speaker Robert DeLeo, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. You take care of yourself.